I told the deacons, that seems really loud to me, that they were going to have to take some money, put it in an envelope, and tape it to one of the bottoms of these chairs up here in the front rows, and change the location every week. But say, someone is sitting in these front rows, reach your hand under your chair, and you could get the prize. These chairs are pretty nice, really, on this front rows. I sat in them last week. My wife didn't really like it, but so she came in and chose the second row back this morning. I've been thinking about this switch. It says that when Jesus came into the world, that he was light. And he said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And if you come into the light, what does it do? It exposes. And when you walk in these doors now, you're looking at everybody's face. It's hard not to look. You would stumble. You would fall getting in without looking at somebody's face. And I think it's a good struggle to have. There's some things I know that our deacons are going to work on, like our projection screens and things like that. But I got to tell you, where I sit right over there, that looks like a big screen TV right back there. I mean, it is great. It really is. I never got to see that. Somebody else was talking about something they'd never seen in here before. It was really odd. It's something that's just been here for years and years. I heard somebody saying this morning, is that new? Did they just do that? I said, no, that's been there for a long time. So we kind of get tunnel vision, don't we? We get set in our ways, and it's good to be challenged. I'd like for us to look at Matthew 27. I don't have a slide presentation, so you'll just have to do it the old-fashioned way. I'd like to look at Matthew 27, and I'm going to take three excerpts from Jesus' trial, one in Matthew, one in Luke, and then in John. And I'm just jumping in because I want to just draw out, I mean, it's all the account of Jesus' trial. I just want to draw out some certain facts from each account. So it was in Matthew 27 and 17 through 19, it says, when therefore they were gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ? For he knew that because of envy they had delivered him up. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him. And I don't know if you've ever had the responsibility. I've had some responsibility, but I don't know that I've ever had the responsibility that Pilate had. He's sitting on a judgment seat. And he says, first of all, I know that they brought Jesus here because of envy. They're envious of him. And then he gets this little message. I don't know how he got it. But he gets this little message from his wife. And she says to him, don't have anything to do. He said, he's a righteous man. And I've suffered many things because of him in a dream this night. And then look at Luke 23. And verses 13 through 23. Luke 23 and 13 through 23. And try to keep these things in mind. And the reason I'm doing this is because each one of these offer just a little different account, some different facts. If I turn to the right chapter, it'll be the right reading. Luke 23 and verse 13. And Pilate summoned the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, You brought this man to me as one who incites the people to rebellion. And behold, having examined him before you, I have found no guilt in this man regarding the charges which you make against him. No, nor has Herod, for he sent him back to us, and behold, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish him and release him. Now he was obliged to release to them at the feast one prisoner. But they cried out all together, saying, Away with this man and release for us Barabbas. He was one who had been thrown into prison for a certain insurrection made in the city and for murder. And Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again. I want to read that verse to you again. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again. But they kept on calling out, saying, Crucify, crucify him. And he said to them the third time, Why? What evil has this man done? Why do you want me to kill him? We can't find any guilt. He hasn't done anything. Herod couldn't find any guilt. And they cry out, Crucify! Crucify him! They didn't just want him put to death. They wanted him crucified. And he said, Why? What evil has this man done? I have found in him no guilt demanding death. I will therefore punish him and release him. But they were insistent with loud voices, asking that he be crucified. And their voices began to prevail. And then John 18 and 28. You got to kind of think of being Pilate. But the people are crying out, Crucify, crucify him. And it says their voices are beginning to prevail. He said, I can't find any guilt. He especially hasn't done anything worthy of death. Herod couldn't find any guilt. He knew it was because of envy that Jesus was there. And his wife told him, I've had a bad dream, Pilate. Don't do anything. I've had a bad dream. Don't do anything to this man. And in John's account, 18 and 28, they led Jesus, therefore, from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early. And they themselves did not enter into the praetorium in early, in order that they might not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Pilate, therefore, went out to them and said, What accusation do you bring against this man? They answered and said to him, If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. Pilate therefore said to them, Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. The Jews said to him, We are not permitted to put anyone to death, that the word of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what kind of death he was about to die. Pilate therefore entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus. And he said to him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests delivered you up to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, and I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Pilate therefore said to him, So, you are a king. Jesus answered, You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate looks at Jesus. You got to think about this conversation in the early morning hours. The accusers are not coming in because they don't want to be defiled. But he's going in He's going out and talking to them, and then he's going back in and he's talking to Jesus. And they're having this conversation. And Pilate asked Jesus this question in verse 38. He said, "What is truth? What is truth?" He's heard all of the false accusations. He knows it's because of envy that they've delivered Jesus up. His wife has told him, "Don't have any dealings with this. It's all wrong. I've had a bad dream." He goes in to the accused and he says, "Are you a king?" And he said, "Well, did you saying this on your own initiative, or did someone else tell you this about me?" And it all boils down to this question: what is the truth? What is truth? You ever had to sit and ponder and wonder what truth is? What's the truth in this situation? You got two kids. One of them comes to you and says, "Mommy, Daddy, blah, 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 blah." And then the other one says, "Mommy, Daddy, blah, 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 blah." And you want to whip both of them for their blah, 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 because you don't even know what the truth is. What is the truth? "Well, I'm sorry, we can't give you a raise this year because of blah, 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 blah. But you can buy everybody $10 cigars at the big dinner party, but you can't." What's the truth? What is the truth? I want to know what the truth is. You know, the only problem with Pilate, and it's not really about, I'm not really wanting to talk about the trial of Jesus. I wanted to get to that question. Pilate knew what the truth was, didn't he? He said he hasn't done anything worthy of death. He's not guilty of anything. What did it say in Luke's account? The voices of the people, what? They began to prevail. The voices of the people began to prevail. I was listening to Mike as he was talking before the communion service, and I thought, boy, we've given up a lot. We've just given up a lot. We've let a lot go. We've sacrificed a lot, and it's because the voices began to prevail. Talk. Just talk, 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 talk. It's hard to explain all of that talk to someone that gave their sons and to someone that lost their husband or their dad in a war fighting for the freedom that we enjoy today. It's hard to talk all that away to that person. But we've given up a lot. And we've given up a lot when it comes to the truth. You have to get a written contract with everything that you do today. Because the truth, just telling the truth, just simply saying what is true, has become foreign in our country. It's become foreign. We've got to get a written contract. It used to be, if you uttered it out of your mouth, it was binding, wasn't it? How many people here can remember that? Raise your hand up. If you uttered it out of your mouth, it was binding. It was legally binding. You said it. You know, there's people sitting here in this room that I know if they told me something, they would do it. I know it without a doubt. Well, I wouldn't even give it a second thought. I'd give them all my money and let them hold it and know that I was going to get it all back. I know that without a doubt. I wouldn't have a doubt. There's other people I know that I wouldn't believe anything they told me. Because they've proven it to me over and over again that I can't believe them. And I sure wouldn't give them my money to hold. Because I probably wouldn't get it back. I wouldn't get it all back. We need to be a light. We need to be a light in this world that we're in. We need to be a genuine, true light. And to do that, we need to speak the truth. Always. In everything that we do, we need to speak the truth. We need to speak the truth in love, but we need to speak the truth in everything that we do. Acts chapter 5 and verses 1 through 11 is the account of Ananias and Sapphira. And it says there that this certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property that kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, listen to this. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? This lying thing is the truth and a lie. There is a huge separation. It is not a fine line. It is a huge separation. Jesus said, I am truth and I am light. And we read from our reading John the 8th chapter that Josh read for us. I like that. I think, what'd you read out of, Josh? NIV, where are you at? NIV. It said in there that Satan speaks in his native language. He is a liar. He's a liar. And he is the father of it. And when we engage in dishonesty, when we engage in not telling the truth or half the truth, guess whose camp we're in? We're in Satan's. Just like Ananias. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men arose and covered him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter responded to her, tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, yes, that was the price. And Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out as well. And she fell immediately at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard all of these things. Boom, boom. Dead. That fast. What for? Telling a lie. Telling a lie. Boom, boom. That fast. And great fear came upon all the church. If I told you a lie at some point this morning and I dropped dead in front of you because of it, I'd say great fear would come upon the church. It really isn't funny, but it'd be funny if it happened, wouldn't it? To think that we can get away with, that's the problem. Because a sentence against an evil work is not swiftly carried out, The hearts of men are fully set to do evil. I talk to drug addicts every day. And I tell them, you know what the problem is? I mean, there's a guy sitting there and he's been using for 8 years. And there's a guy sitting there, he's been using for 12 years. There's a guy sitting there, he's been using for 25 years. We got a guy right now that has a drug-induced stroke. 23 years old, he's on a cane, he's got a brace on his leg. He looks like a little old man. And I'm like, what did they tell you about using drugs when you were in school? Don't do it. Just say no. Why? Because they'll kill you. There's only one problem. You know what it was? It's self-evident. If you've been using for 12 years and they said it would kill you, guess what? You didn't die. And since they don't die, it's okay. I'll keep doing it. God said a lot of things in His Word. He said a lot of things in His Word. And he expects us to be doing that. And because the sentence is not carried out swiftly, we think it's okay. I'll just keep doing it. Nobody said anything. Nobody's done anything. Nothing's happened to me. I'll just keep doing it. It must be all right. God must not mean what He says. Why has Satan filled your heart? Revelation 21 and verse 8. And here John is talking about the new heaven and the new earth. And right at the end of that, it says in verse 8, "But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Where does it say the liars will be? Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I don't know how important it is to you that someone tells you the truth. And I don't know how important it is to you that you tell the truth. But to God, it's very important that we tell the truth. And that we tell the truth all the time, in all things. Even if to tell the truth would cause me to suffer loss or bring me harm, I need to tell the truth at all times, in all things, without doubt and without fail. Ephesians 4 and verse 25 says, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." You ever think something in your head about another person, but never, and you got animosity. You've got animosity, and you've got resentment, and you've got anger, and all these things are filling up your heart, but you never go say it. Is that a liar? Is that a liar? You're thinking it, and it's having the effect on you, and you're getting filled up with the anger and the animosity and the resentment. The worst thing I hate, you know, I think most women are probably the same way. Tammy gets mad, and I know it, and I say, "What's wrong?" What's a woman's response, Mark? Nothing. Right. We all know that. Every man knows. I could ask any man sitting in here that's married. The response is always nothing. There's nothing wrong. You dirty dog. You scumbag. There is nothing wrong. If there's something wrong, I'd tell you. That's why I'm asking you, honey, what's wrong? Like, I'd like to try and make it right. We have trouble. We have trouble with just telling the truth. Speak the truth in love, though. We need to tell the truth. Lay aside falsehood. Just get rid of it. Just lay it aside and speak the truth. Each one of you to his neighbor. We talk about honesty a lot because that's a big part of recovery. And they say, well, what about this question? What about that question? Like, what if my wife says, do these jeans make me look fat? You know, and I'm like, there's ways to answer those questions. Huh? Oh, I'm answering it. You know, you can say, well, why would you ask me that question? You can answer a question with a question. You can. It's perfectly fine. Why would you ask me that question? Or then there's the one, do you really want me to answer that question? You know? We don't have to lie. Why would you ask me that question? Do these jeans make... Uh-oh, she heard me. She's coming after me. She's in the toddler's class. Whatever you call that back there. So I won't get in trouble too. She'll say, what was your sermon about? That's what she always asks me. You can answer a question with a question. But we need to be truthful. If somebody's really asking you that question anyway and they really want to know, what's wrong with just telling them, yeah, those jeans make you look fat. To me, I'm a little off the wall anyway, and I know that. And I have accepted myself. I don't know that the rest of the world has. I've tried to change, but I have accepted. And usually if somebody asks me something like that, I go, yeah, they make you look fat. Or no, they don't make you look fat. I mean, you ask the question, you must want to know. It's like you come in and go, how do you like the chairs? There's some people here to tell you, I hate them. I hate them. So? I love them. I think they're great. And that's the truth. I think they're great. There's some people, though, some people will. They'll say, I hate them. And then there'll be people that say, you know what their answer is. So Pilate said, what is truth? Jesus said in his prayer in John 17:17, he was praying for his disciples, and he said to God in that prayer in verse 17, we call it verse 17, sanctify them in thy truth. Listen to this. Thy word is truth. Who was he praying to? God the Father. He was praying to God the Father. Pilate said, what is truth? And Jesus said, God the Father, your word is truth. It's truth. Paul said in Romans 3 and 4, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. That's out of the King James Version. That's what I memorized it out of. Let God be true. Let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. God is true. His word is true. And people really do want the truth. And God expects us to tell the truth in all things, especially within his will. We need to tell the truth. People need to hear that they're lost without the blood of Christ. You need to hear that. We hear everything else in this world. We hear everything else in this world. Something comes out on the news that such and such is bad for you, and we're immediately telling everybody, oh, you need to stop drinking coffee because it's bad for you. You need to stop eating sugar because it's bad for you. You need to stop doing this because it's bad. You need to stop sinning because it has an eternal outcome. You need the blood of Christ because without it, and you already know it. Don't you already know it? I already know it. I already know it. Without the blood of Christ, I'm lost. I know that with every fiber of my being. I think about it every day I walk on this earth. I thank God for the blood of Christ. Because I'm sinful. And without it, I'm lost. I'm powerless over it. I want to control my thoughts, but I can't. I try hard, but I can't. I want to control my tongue, but I can't. I try hard. You know what? People already know that. You know what they need to know? They need to know you don't have to be lost. Who cares how much coffee you drink? That's what we tell everybody, though, and how much sugar you eat. We need to know about the blood of Christ. We need to know that God is true. God is true. Your word is truth, God. It's true. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ and confesses Him before men and are baptized into Him, buried just like His death, and raised up a new creature, receives the gift of the Holy Spirit, the forgiveness of sins, and eternal life. And it doesn't happen any other way. It doesn't happen any other way. We have a world listening today. On this day, I can go home and turn on my television when I get home. I can't even remember the guy's name, but he's the guy that's always talking because he makes me so angry. I sit and listen to him for a little. He's the guy always talking about sowing your seed. And he's got, it's so many dollars and it's odd dollars and cents that he wants everyone to send in. And if you send this in, I guarantee you, and he reads the same scriptures out of this book that I read to tell people that they will receive millions of dollars, that it's a God promise that they'll get it if they just send in that $13.03 and sow your seed. And if my fist could reach from that screen to his face, I'd punch him out. I would. I'm like, you are sending people straight to hell with your doctrine. You're sending them straight to hell. Because there's people that believe you. And you're telling a lie. You're speaking the native language of your father, the devil, because he is a liar. And he's a murderer. It's not okay to just teach anything out of this book. It isn't okay. It's not okay to call people Christian that are not Christian. Because Christian means like Christ. And like Christ means that I have become like Christ. I died to myself. I was buried. I was resurrected, brought back from the dead. And now I am a new man, and that is Christ-like. Yeah, it's Christ-like to feed people that are hungry. And it's Christ-like to clothe people that are naked. And it's Christ-like to visit people that are sick. But you can do all that stuff. And without the blood of Christ, you know what it gets you? Zero. It gets you nothing. Because I can't be good enough. And you can't be good enough. We will never be good enough if all you do is good from the time you get up in the morning till the time you lay down your head at night. You're not good enough. And I'm not good enough. We're good enough by the blood of Christ. And that is the truth of God's word. The Apostle Paul said, when I was among you, I determined not to know anything except what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why? Because that's what saves people. That's our call. That's our mission, is to tell the truth everywhere we go. When I go to work and the issue comes up, I need to tell the truth. Not a lie. I need to tell the truth. And see, that was funny a minute ago, wasn't it, when I said about your wife asking you, does those jeans make me look fat? And you know how uncomfortable that makes you. But then somebody starts talking to you about salvation. This is what I believe and this is what I've done. And now all of a sudden, I'm in that same situation. I'm in that same setting. You follow me? I'm either going to say, yeah, those jeans make you look fat. I'm going to speak the truth in love, or I'm going to lie. I'm going to do one of two things right then. Right at that point, I'm going to speak the truth in love, or I'm going to lie. I mean, look at that person. Would I rather think of them as I didn't hurt their feelings today, but they're going to burn in hell? Or would I rather look at them and say, I might have upset them. I might have hurt their feelings. I might have rattled them a little bit. But I told them the truth. I told them what God says. Let God be found true, but every man a liar. Some of us will tell the truth all the time. The Apostle Paul asked the Galatians, and it's in chapter 4 and verse 16. He says, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Have I become your enemy, really? Because I told you the truth? What would you rather hear? I'd rather hear the truth. I'd rather hear the truth myself. The truth is, this morning there are some sitting here that have never accepted Jesus as their Savior. And the truth is that we don't know. We don't know when it's going to be. We don't know. If the watchman had known at what hour the thief was going to break into his house, he'd have watched. He'd have been on alert. We don't know. We don't know the day of our death, and we don't know the day of Christ's return. We just need to be ready. We need to be like those five wise virgins. The call came out at midnight, and they rose up, and they trimmed their lamps, and they filled them with oil. And what did they get to do? They got to go in to the wedding. The five that weren't ready was tough luck. They didn't get to go in. I mean, we're not talking about a ball team. We're not talking about getting on a skit practice into a skit. We're not talking about any of that stuff. We're talking about life and death, actual life and death, heaven or hell. And if you're here on the outside of Christ, you're on the outside. You're on the outside. You're not on the inside. And we just want to serve you. That's all we want to do. All you got to do is come and say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. You either do or you don't. If you do, I would ask you, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, why are you still not a Christian? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. A lot of it's like this, because we don't like coming in, sitting down face to face and looking at each other. I told Tammy last week, I said, man, hardly anybody fell asleep this morning. Right there is one of the big pluses to this. Hardly anybody fell asleep. There's usually a half a dozen or more. I said, hardly anybody fell asleep. We're still on the outside of Christ because we're too embarrassed to just get up and say, I need Jesus, and I need Him now. I need Him now. We're just asking you to come while we stand and sing.